Father God, I pray this morning that you would anoint me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let my mouth and my heart be acceptable to you as I bring forth your word, Father God. Let it not be me, but let it be you by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is a tough scripture to do a sermon out of. For the simple reason of what it says, and I paraphrase it, if you kill your neighbor, you can go to hell. And what does that mean? Let me start by saying that the Pharisees and the scribes are fairly decent people. But in reading the scriptures, we come away with some bad opinions of them because they were in constant coming against Jesus. As wrong as they were in that, they were still devout in keeping the law. They were going to the extremes in order to keep the law. These people were seriously committed in doing righteous. They always kept the law, even to the point of going a little overboard. Don't cross the street on the Sabbath, because it's a sin. Don't comb your hair. Of all the commandments, 613 commandments that they had, that was one of them. Don't comb your hair on the Sabbath, because you're sinning. Now, they were very righteous in that, but I think they've gone to the extremes. So here comes Jesus. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What is he really trying to tell us? Is he setting a standard that we can say is tremendously hard for us to meet? He might even say it's impossible. Or is he telling us to try harder, like the Pharisees and the scribes? In this brief section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out our answer. Unless you are better than the best in keeping the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you are perfect, we're all in trouble. If you're angry with your brother, Jesus says, you deserve to go to jail or hell. And if you call him a hurtful name, you should go to hell as well. So much for the warm and fuzzy Jesus. He's pretty strong with that. He's really saying that getting to heaven is impossible, at least if we try it on our own. Our Lord Jesus is saying, before you go before God and act all religious, you better get your act together and get your affairs straightened out with your neighbor around you. Don't even try to pretend you are a good person or love God. When you have issues with your brother or sisters, those that you see and touch, we must understand that we cannot bring something to God if we have something against our brother. Jesus is saying, leave your offering before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. We must put things right with our brothers and sisters. You can see before you to try and come to God who you cannot see. Jesus is not saying to hang out your dirty laundry in public every day or every Sunday, but to deal urgently and honestly with all the breakdowns with your brothers before they leave, that righteousness breaks down and leads them to a spiritual disaster. Is your anger under control, or is it controlling you? Maybe there is something or someone that you need to go to and make amends before the day is over. For the sake of Christ and the gospel, be urgent in taking actions to resolve a conflict as much as possible. It is within your framework of our relationship that our brothers, that our kingdom citizens is best demonstrated. So we must take the citizenship seriously so that we heed the urgency of this text to reconcile with those whom we have wronged. God actually expects us to be real. And thirdly, and deliberately Christian in a walk. He wants for you and me to think through our words and acts, as well as the light of our faith, which is to say, in the light of His presence. But sadly, none of us measure up to that. No anger, no telling someone you fool, no name calling. You know that God listens to our thoughts as well as it said in the Nicene Creed in our prayer. But at times, I do not make the grade. Do any of you? Somebody crosses us over in when we're driving and cuts us off. What do? So we need to make every effort to make friends with our brothers while there is still time. All said and done, we have that friendship, that peace in Jesus. He made that peace for us in His body at the cross. He paid the price, faced the judge Himself, suffered until the last cent was paid, which is His lifeblood. And His resurrection is our receipt of what He did for us. It is our righteousness as a gift of grace received by taking God in His word and trusting Him to do all things that He promised. We have that righteousness as long as we cling to Christ our Lord. He had called us and comforted us, and as He serves us, the holy supper of His body and blood, to cleanse and strengthen and bless us. All of this is so that we can come before the judge and we find there our brother with all the accounts settled, and we are set free into the freedom of the glory of God because of Christ Jesus. Of course, we have to live day to day under the grace of God. We must always remember the words of our Lord and try not to fool ourselves, nor try to deceive others, and remember that our service to God is the one service we render every way that we give it away to our brothers and sisters. We serve God at home, on the way, at work in another way, and at church in another way. But in each case, we are serving God by serving our brothers and sisters. God does not really need what we have, but our brothers do. And God counts it as given to Him when we use it to give it away to our brothers and sisters. The Sermon on the Mount does not really actually set out any new rules. It simply sets forth the truth of the law of God with specific clarity. Jesus does that so that we will not confuse ourselves with the idea that we may somehow be able to measure up on our own. No, we're all sinners, lost, condemned, and deserving eternal destruction if we are doing it in our own effort. But thanks be to God, we have a Savior with whom we can approach the judgment seat with Him standing next to us. Our sins are forgiven. We are the elect and chosen of God whom He loves so. So now it is up to us to live in the beauty, rejoicing in thanksgiving and loving one another, those are the new rules He has set forth before us in the Scripture. To stand by our brother before we go to the altar, and then stand with him at the altar in forgiveness and repentance, loving our brothers and sisters as we love ourselves. And that is the whole essence of this Scripture. Do you love your neighbor, or are you angry at your neighbor? It doesn't matter if he's a next-door neighbor or the one sitting next to you. Do we love our neighbor? Do we love our brother? Do we love each other as He has commanded us to do? He has said, love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Amen.